of attaining it. Or in Doug Larson's words, wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. Wisdom is not directly proportional to the amount of knowledge that we have. We have seen individuals with very little learning but great wisdom. On the other hand, there are people with great learning and knowledge, yet with little wisdom in life choices. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge that we have in our hands. During this past few weeks, we have been studying the topic on how we grow as Christians. We learned that we are to grow as Jesus did. We have read that familiar verse many, many times. So another few months, I trust that we all know how to memorize that. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Briefly put, Jesus grew in wisdom. The scripture does not really provide us with an exact definition of this word wisdom. However, this wisdom, this theme was evident throughout the Bible. The book of Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes are known as the wisdom literature. In the scriptures, wisdom is often associated with knowing when to be silent, associated with insight, humility, discernment, understanding, purity, peaceful, gentleness, mercy, open to reason, impartial, godliness, and sincerity. It is a quality to be developed, a quality to be acquired. And how so? First, we have that familiar passage in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. How can we begin to acquire wisdom? I think the scripture is very clear on this, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. One is to fear the Lord, to fear God. The fear of God is a repeated theme in the scriptures. Deuteronomy, oh, that they had such a mind as it is always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments. Psalm 86, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. In other words, when the heart is divided, then there's no fear of God. In order to fear God, that our heart need to be whole, need to be complete, there need to be integrity within us. And in Jeremiah 32, I will give them one heart. Again, this whole thing about the integrity, completeness of the heart, that they may fear me forever for their own good and the good of their children after them. I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts, that they may not turn from me. And then Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another out of reverence, in other translation, out of fear for Christ. 1 Peter 2:17, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. From these passages, it is evident that not only we are to fear God is really a priority in the Christian's life. What is important? Important thing is to fear God. But this fear also embodies respect and also obedience to Him. God wants us to fear Him. Why? So that we can gain wisdom. However, we also need to ask, what motivates and causes us to fear? Some of us associate fear with a dreadful and terrifying feelings or event. It is like the TV show, I think it's the Fear Factor, getting into a tub full of snakes or crocodiles for 60 seconds. Or meeting Jack Bauer in 24. You know, when you see him, you have to be afraid of him. There's that dreadful feeling. You better get out of his way or you will be in trouble no matter who you are. It is also like being in the presence of a very strict and authoritative person, creating a sense of awe and terrifying feeling within. See, this dreadful feeling will cause us to do the minimum, isn't it? If you take part in the fear factor competition to see whether you can stay in that tub for 60 seconds, I bet you will not try to stay there for 65 seconds. You will try to beat the minimum requirement. When 60 seconds is up, you get out of it. You don't want to say, okay, I'm going to try to stay for another 10 seconds. No, you want to get by with the minimum. If the passing grade is 60, you want to make sure all you get is 60 so that you can just get away with it. But there's more to it in when we fear God. Exodus 20, we have those words. Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of Him be before you, that you may not sin." Moses was telling the Israelites, you are to fear God. Why? Because the Holy One was among them. Because this Holy God was with them, therefore they are to fear Him. Psalm 130, verse 4, "But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." When we put these two passages together, we have this picture. In the presence of this Holy God, all we see is our sin and our filth. We only deserve His wrath. Yet He unconditionally loves us and forgives our sins. Why we are to fear God? We fear Him, we respect and we obey Him because of His love and because of His forgiveness. Let us take a look at an incident in Peter's life. After Jesus' arrest, Peter followed Him to the court where He was held. Within several hours, Peter denied 3 times that he ever knew Jesus. And just when he denied Jesus the 3rd time, you knew what happened. The rooster crowed. And then Luke wrote, "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the Lord saying to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And then Peter went out and wept bitterly. Yes, Peter remembered that Jesus told him about his denial. But there's more to that. Jesus also told Peter something else. In Luke chapter 22, 31-32, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." So Jesus, besides predicting Peter's denial, Jesus also said that He would pray for Peter's faith, that his faith would not fail because of his denial. That after Peter had returned, that after Peter had been restored and stood up again, Peter was to strengthen others, to help others. You see, even in his final hours, Jesus was concerned about Peter's future, his future ministry, his future well-being. And Peter remembered all these loving words. And then he went out and wept bitterly. And then many, many, many years later, in his epistle, Peter wrote, "Fear the Lord." See, we fear God because of His love, because of His forgiveness towards us. How can we develop this fear? We have to come back to the cross again. You see, the cross is where God's righteousness and love meet. The cross is the symbol of death and cruelty has now turned into a symbol of God's love. On this cross, all my sins and all the punishment due me are now being placed on Jesus Christ. Therefore, whenever I come to the cross, I see God's righteousness and also I see God's love for me. This love will cause me to want to fear Him. This love will motivate me to want to respect and to obey Him. And it is for this reason that we need to come back to the cross over and over and over again. The cross is not just for the new Christian or for the non-believers to come and repent, but the cross is also for Christians to come back to it daily, because it is at the cross where we see God's righteousness and also God's love at the same time. We learn that the road to wisdom is through fearing God. The fear is motivated. It is caused by God's love for us. Because He is that loving God, therefore we want to fear Him, we want to respect, and we want to obey Him. Now let us take a look at some of the consequences of fearing God, or some of the results or some of the effects of fearing God. Numbers 21:34. But the Lord said to Moses, "Do not fear him, for I have given him into your hand, and all his people and his land." Very simply put, the Lord was telling Moses, you know, when you feared me, you don't have to be afraid of your enemies anymore. Philippians 1:28, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. You see what's happening here? When we fear God, it will remove our fear of our adversities and those who are hostile and unfriendly towards us. Secondly, the fear of God will promote obedience. We look at two examples. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructing an ark for the saving of his household. What was Noah doing? Out of fear and out of his faith in God, he obeyed and he built an ark. Think of the ridicule from the people poking fun at him, saying, "Look, what a fool. Why build this huge ark when there's no sign of rain and there's no forecasting it's going to rain? Why build the ark?" And yet Noah obeyed God. Why? Because of his fear for God. And then another example, in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 and 17, we have this story. Now, King Pharaoh was very angry was very afraid of the Israelites because they were multiplying too fast. And so he told the midwives, you know, when you deliver a Hebrew male baby, make sure you kill them, but you let the girls live. And what did we read here? The midwives, they did not obey King Pharaoh. Why? Because they feared God. Because they feared God, they obeyed God. And in Deuteronomy, "So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him." Moses summarized all this. Because of your fear of God, because of your and my fear of God, keep the commandments. Be obedient to him. You see, when we fear this loving and this holy God, we want to obey him. We want to respect him. We want to fear him. And then the third effect is the fear of God will prevent us from sins. Exodus 20. Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." Because you fear him, then you will not sin. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion," what? "In the fear of God." Again, the fear of God motivates us to be obedient to him. And then one aspect of this obedience is that we'll stay out of sin's way. We'll get out of sins. We run away from those temptations. Why? Because of our fear of God. And then fourthly, the fear of God will help us to treat others properly. Another example, this is found in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 15. Listen to this narrative. "The former governors who were before me," that is Nehemiah, "laid heavy burdens on the people and took from them their daily ration of 40 shekels of silver." Yeah, it's heavy taxation here. "And then even their servants lorded it over the people." And then Nehemiah continued, "But I did not do so." Why? Because of the fear of God. This is an interesting passage, isn't it? Nehemiah was reporting that the previous governors, even their servants, mistreated the people by adding financial burdens and treating them unfairly, unjustly. And that when Nehemiah became the governor, even though he had all the authority and the precedent to cause hardship on these people, to benefit his own wallet, his own treasury, but he did not do it. Why? Because he feared God. It is like what Peter wrote about the work of the elders many years, hundreds of years later. Elders are not to be greedy for money, not lording over the people, but to be their examples. And this is what Nehemiah was saying, that because of my fear of God, that I treat these people fairly and justly. So when we fear God, it will also help us to treat others fairly, help us to treat them with dignity and with respect. Isn't this what wisdom is all about? When you have wisdom, you will not be intimidated by your circumstances. No matter how adverse, how unfriendly, how hostile they may be. A wise person knows the importance of obeying God, because He is the one that truly matters, isn't it? A person with wisdom would not put himself in sin. He would know when and how to run away from sin, get out of those temptations. And then this man with that great wisdom truly knows how to treat others with respect, with dignity, and with justice. And this is why you begin to see wisdom and the fear of God cannot be separated. They go hand in hand. Whenever there is the fear of God, there's also wisdom. So how can we continue to develop and to increase this fear of God? How can we increase this wisdom? How can we grow in wisdom? Well, one suggestion is that we are to think great thoughts about God. What is our God like? Or what is your God like? Is my God is the one who satisfies my needs, accomplish what I want Him to do for me? Then this God is just as big as I am, isn't it? Because my world, my need is so small. If that's all I think about myself, what I want in life, how He can meet me, how He can help me with this and how He can help me with that, then my God is really just as big as I am, or maybe a little bigger, but not much bigger than that. This is very pitiful, isn't it? J.B. Phillips years ago wrote a book with the title, Your God is Too Small. Instead, we need to learn to let God be God. We need to start think great things about God. Instead of bringing God down to where we are, we need to raise our thoughts to where God is. There are two areas that we can practice. One, think about God's choosing us. In my Sunday school preparation on the book of Romans last 2 weeks, I'm once again being reminded and brought to the awareness that all have sinned against God. There's not even one single righteous person in this world. And therefore, we are all under God's wrath. However, of all the people, God has chosen me. God has chosen you. God has chosen me. He called and chose us to be His children. And then He took the initiative to die for us on the cross and suffer the wrath of God that was due me. I'm the one, you are the one that's supposed to suffer those punishment, those wrath of God. Yet Jesus suffered for us. And then when we put our faith in Christ, God considered us as righteous. This is a thought that is simply too great for anyone to comprehend. It is like the song that we sang earlier. It still amazes us when we think about God's grace. It's like the last chapter in in Narnia, in the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe. You remember them? I think it's the last chapter. Edmund by then was already captured by the witch. And the three children, Peter, Lucy, and Susan, were thinking about, you know, what to do about Edmund. And then when they found out that Aslan, really the symbol of Christ, have decided to keep, to fulfill that deep secret by going to that stone table and die there in order to ransom Edmund, the kids were really astonished, surprised that this Aslan is willing to die for Edmund in order to free him. Isn't this what God did for us on the cross? He's chosen us, He died for us, to ransom us out of His wrath, from the control of Satan. And then also think of God's providence in life. There was a time in life we felt that we were making all those important decisions, isn't it? Some of us, maybe the younger ones especially, where all our life plans met up in front of us. I remember a young man that I met years ago. I said, by 20, this is what I would do. By 30, by 40, by 50. You know, he has all planned. And then even starting from the wedding rehearsal, you see on the spreadsheet, you know, not just hour, but it's hour and minutes what will happen. But then, even before the wedding rehearsal started, I mean, he couldn't keep to his plan. The schedule was off by hours. He was so frustrated. Isn't it true the times that we felt that I'm the captain of my ship, you know, I'm the captain of my own destiny. And sometimes we even self-congratulate ourselves for having arrived at where we are today. However, if we take a second look at our life, isn't it true that it was all God's providence? When we turn around and take a second look, using the analogy that I've used many, many times, we'll see His fingerprints all over our lives. No matter how smart and capable we are, we could not have planned and directed such a script for our own life. Isn't it? Our God is far greater than all that we can think and imagine. So let God be God. And so what did the students do with their $30,000 in New Orleans? If you read the news, if you follow the news, they promptly handed over to the police. One of them said, "It never occurred to us to keep the money." Oh, this is the right choice, isn't it? And it requires wisdom to make such a decision. I also think of a young man facing career decisions. Several weeks ago, he had received two offers on the same day. One job fits his education, his training, and some of his experiences. The other fits his personality and his heart desire. The first job offers probably pays him 3 to 4 times more than the second offer. So which one should he take? To some of us, this is really no-brainer, isn't it? However, he accepted the second offer. To some, boy, that was stupid. Right? But to make such a decision requires great wisdom and also courage as well. I'm sure there are many other young people among us have also made similar choices. Those are wise choices that you have made. We have plenty of knowledge among us. In this Chinese church, in other Chinese churches, you go in, when you look at the number of degrees, it's scary, right? You put all those bachelor degrees, the master degrees, the PhDs, the doctors to get. You probably find the highest concentration of those academic degrees in almost any Chinese church in this country, in most of the Chinese churches. Knowledge is never a problem with us. But how about wisdom? You see, wisdom is not a degree that we can acquire. Wisdom is a quality that it takes time to develop. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Shall we pray? If there is such a thing as wisdom quotient, I wonder where or how much that you have or I have. I think we all have to admit there's so many times that we desperately feel that we need wisdom in all areas of life. The Apostle James also wrote, if you don't have wisdom, you ask God for it. And this morning we studied that. To have wisdom, we need to fear God. And we ask you just to give some thoughts to what you have heard. May the Holy Spirit stir in us a strong need for wisdom. And this wisdom only comes from fearing God, respecting Him, and obeying Him. Will you please sit silently, reflect, and talk to God?